Brown, he turns these guys into pretzels, artichokes, salami, cheese, piece of cake. If you even think you might have a problem with water or mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration. You know who won't stand for that? The Glazers. Don't even argue with me on this point.
Buccaneers fans, it is the final podcast of 2021. Not the 2021 season, but the final Ira Kaufman podcast of this year. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, which has taken on new meaning this week, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Bill Curry Ford is the place to be. You can listen to the podcast there at all times. It is Bucks friendly from top to bottom. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting for you. The deals are flowing through the weekend, end of the year. Best time to buy a vehicle, best time to sell a vehicle. Get to BillCurryFord.com immediately. Reach out to Sean through the website or just get on down there. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. They are taking orders on all kinds of inventory. Great opportunity to shop now at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Big Storm Beer, that is your beer for the new year and all times. BigStormBrewery.com. Big Storm Beer. Ira Sunday will be out at Big Storm in Clearwater watching the Jets-Bucks game with you, drinking Bromosa, maybe a little Kolsch, perhaps a Wavemaker Amber Ale or a Palm Bender or the holiday classic, the Dunder and Blixum Spiced Ale. Check them all the beers out at BigStormBrewery.com. Your tap rooms are there to load up for the holidays, but Big Storm is at Publix and at fine establishments. Ira, how are you?
I'm looking forward to Big Storm on Sunday. It'll be the finale, final road game of the regular season. Steve, I'm into Bay Beer now. I'm going with the Bay Beer. It goes down nice and easy. They have a new menu, Steven. They have some new items on the menu, which I sampled last week. Leah, I got an antipasto salad. An antipasto salad, as good as it sounds. And, boy, did that go down nice and easy. Artichokes, salami, cheese, anything you can imagine, olives. It was a wonderful addition. I also want to tell Buck Nation that I'm coming to you 9 hours after my colonoscopy piece of cake. Unfortunately, I started a movie last night at 8 o'clock. My wife and I are watching Murder on the Orient Express. Now, that's a movie, Lee, you got to watch every minute because you're looking for clues who killed this guy. And it started at 8, and at 8:15, I was called to the throne, and I made 6 further appearances on the Golden Throne in the first hour of the movie. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I couldn't get into the characters. Everything came out all right, if you know what I mean. Bottom line, no polyps, but there was a trace of Bette Midler. No polyps, but a trace of Bette Midler. That's what was written on the colonoscopy report. Steve, I'm wired tonight. I'm all wired, ready to go. And I will report to Buck Nation. I was on the phone with the coach of your Tampa Bay Bucks, Mr. Bruce Arians. Of course, my first question, how you doing? Ira, not bad at all. Runny nose, you know, little cough, mild symptoms. Steve, after talking to him, I wouldn't count him out for Sunday showing up at East Rutherford. If he's eligible to be there, he sounds chipper. As a matter of fact, guys, he said he's had these symptoms for weeks, but he didn't test positive until this week. So he's not overly concerned, and he's calling it mild symptoms. Good news all the way around, gentlemen.
Ira, how many times did he cough when you were on the phone? I'm teasing.
When I mentioned that I had a colonoscopy.
So just for the fans out there, and Lee and I are always curious too. See, so you just, you know, you're old school, you get out your rotary phone, you sit down in your lounge chair, and you dial up Arians and he picks up. Is that how that goes?
I don't call him a lot because I don't want to wear that number out. But when I call, he generally picks up, and it's usually at night. Today, he didn't pick up because I wanted to tell him about Rondé Barber being a finalist. And, you know, we know the relationship between Bruce Arians and the Barber twins. And so I wanted him to be one of the first to know. So I just left him a message. Hey, you need some good news? I got it. Call me back. And he called back about 6 o'clock. And you're right. Carved out a nice place on the couch. And I'm in the middle of talking to him. And Cosmo jumps right on me, almost knocks the phone out of my hand. Arian says, what the hell's going on around there? I said, it's Cosmo. He goes, ah, what are you going to do? I know Boston Terriers. At the end of the conversation, because I had texted him yesterday to tell him that we're going to know about the finalists, I also mentioned, if you need good news, I'm going to be in the bathroom all night because I'm preparing for my colonoscopy. So at the end of the conversation today, gentlemen, I said, hey, Bruce, you haven't even asked me how my colonoscopy went. So he goes, yeah, how was it? I go, smooth, baby, smooth. No polyps, no problem. I go, last night, that was a bear. He goes, yeah, it's all about the preparation, just like the NFL. It's all about the preparation. Lee, I've left you a lot of meat on the bone. What do you got, DeKemper?
Boy, do I have a story for you. The murder on the Orient Express. And here's my story about that horrid movie. Horrid movie. My dad decided to take me to a movie. So we go to this movie house. There's two movies available. The Murder on the Orient Express and The Towering Inferno. Towering Inferno sounds pretty cool. People are trapped. They got to find a way to get out. O.J. Simpson was in it, and I loved O.J. Simpson when I was a kid. I really wanted to see that movie. Given the options, it was no-brainer. Let's see.
A lot of action.
Not my old man. He gave me the choice, but it was all a sham of an election. There was no way in hell he was going to see The Towering Inferno. Oh, let's go see Murder on the Orient Express. Who done it? I don't care who done it. I don't want to see it. I've only been more bored once in my life since. That's when I was forced to see some dumb play in college that I had to write a paper on. I don't know what it was about. I don't know what the name of it was. The only thing I remember was I vowed that I will die before I see another play. And I've never seen another play. All the hoity-toity people and Broadway and all that, they could shove it up their derriere sideways so they could have it drop on a colonoscopy. Oh, I'll never, ever see a play. Murder on the Orient Express. I really don't know how much I want to punch a hole in the wall. I'm triggered, man. I'm going to be effed up for the weekend now.
It is, Bits. I could have picked 10,000 movies. I picked Murder on the Orient Express, Steve.
Sounds like a good nickname for a Bucks Saints game, but thankfully we won't have any more of those. Ira, I'm glad you're feeling better. I imagine the doctor saw some remnants of corned beef in there when he was checking around, but we don't need to hear about that. And I'm glad Coach feels like he's doing well, so it's a good thing. And we'll talk a little more about Rondae Barber later, Ira. But Mike Evans is back off the COVID list. That puts a whole new light on what we might see on Sunday. Raheem Nunez-Roches is back. We've got Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting on the COVID list at cornerback. So that's a problem, a huge problem, although it's the Jets, so it's not a problem. And what are your feelings about the roster right now? Do you feel like things are looking up? Do you like where things are going? Richard Sherman was not practicing. Antoine Winfield, he's missed the last two games. But Bruce Arians did say, as we mentioned last week, he's got that Liz Frank injury. Those can be very tricky and very long. That's what Levante David has as well. So obviously the Bucs played well on defense without Winfield. The last two games, they played extremely well. You know, so good things are happening. But what do you feel with the state of these injuries?
Well, the first thing I would say to you is, Vince, and don't take this the wrong way, and I don't want to knock the Kemper off his chair here, but
you already did.
Don't mention Richard Sherman anymore, Steve. Don't mention him. I mean, I'm serious. If Richard Sherman's out there, I got problems. I got problems, and so does this football team. He's done, gentlemen. He's done. You know, can he give you 8 snaps? Maybe. So I don't want to discuss Richard Sherman because that would mean the Bucs are in a woeful state. Steve, you said it all at the very end. You know, you talked about this guy, this guy's out, this guy. Then you said, it's the Jets. Lee, It's the Jets. It's the Jets. They're not playing the Chiefs. They're not playing the Bengals. They're not playing the Packers. Not playing the Rams. Playing the Jets. What are the Jets doing? Playing out the string. Struggled to beat Jacksonville last week. Very, very tough game. Back and forth. This extends to the Panthers game. I'm not worried one bit about these two final regular season games. Not one bit. I've got the Bucks listed at 13-4, gentlemen. Shame on them if they're not. And let it roll. I don't think they're in terrible shape. Why? Because Tom Brady is standing tall, healthy, ready to go. And by the way, Lee, I think we'd all agree. Mike Evans, that streak's going to continue, Lee. Another season, 1,000 yards.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, like I said, I remember Brady saying last year how important it was for the team and for Mike to make sure he gets that record again. So that wouldn't surprise me. I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Leftwich. That guy just is so bad behind a microphone. So bad. And I think it was Leftwich was saying, like, we're not here for records. We're here for, you know, wins. And like I said, I can't remember who said that, but it sounds like something Leftwich would say. And I always remember Tom Brady specifically saying, well, we knew how important that record was for Mike. We wanted to make sure Mike got that record. So much for wins there, man. As far as Richard Sherman, you're on to something, Ira. I tend to agree with you. And mainly because he's dealing with an Achilles injury. And very similar to O.J. Howard dealing with an Achilles injury, although his needed surgery. That's not a minor thing, especially for a guy in his 30s. At a skill position. That's no minor thing. And, you know, he takes one wrong step, bye-bye career. He's done. You know, he's not going to come back from an Achilles injury. I like you. I think that he can give you maybe 8 to 10 good snaps. I think his value is on the sidelines with his input, with his insight.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's already been established that he's been very good with the Bucks' young corners when it comes to zone coverage. I really agree with you that I think he can give you 8 to 10 decent snaps outside of that as a roll of the dice. And I think his biggest asset to the team has been mental more than physical.
I can't talk about Richard Sherman because I'm biased. Once I saw him play early this season, he looked toast, and that's the way it worked out. But you know what? He may get healthy. And, you know, you never know. There's a game that we hope to have in February, which is quite a ways off. You know, it wouldn't be the first time that a guy rose up and had a miracle, you know, half in a big game like that. And Sherman's done it before. So I don't rule it out. But, yeah, Lee's right. He's more of a coach at this point than anything else. Ira, wanted to run this past you because we talked about Antonio Brown in the last podcast, of course, which anybody can check out. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean. We appreciate it. Anywhere you want to leave a review, we'll read them. Ira will read them at Apple Podcasts. And we appreciate the many thousands of listeners and subscribers. But Ira, Arians had his radio show the other night, and he was asked about Antonio Brown. And he noted that Stephon Gilmore, the top corner big money guy on the Panthers, that it appeared that the Panthers thought they could just cover Brown one-on-one and Gilmore could take care of him and take him away. And he said, it just can't happen. Arian said, AB's a great route runner, so it's hard for any corner to take him one-on-one and just to try to get rid of him in a ball game. It's not going to happen. He said, he's so quick and decisive. And when he cuts, he cuts. I mean, it's not a slowdown. It's a speed up when he cuts. And very, very few guys can do that. And, you know, we hear a lot about Antonio Brown, but we don't always hear it laid out that way. And I think it's, if you watch the film, you see Antonio Brown cuts sort of like nobody else. You know, he can break and it's an explosion. It's not just a turn. You know, I have to think it's going to get better. You know, the next couple of weeks here, he should get a little sharper. Some of that timing will be better. But I think that really speaks to the greatness, some of the Hall of Fame kind of stuff we talked about last time.
I love the way Arians described it. I think it fits Brown to a T. I think he looks like 2015 Antonio Brown. By that, I mean, if not the top receiver in the league in the conversation. He destroyed Carolina in the first half of that game. He's all over the field. He had 7 catches. They can't cover him. Now, Lee, I'll say this. Stephon Gilmore has slipped. The guy was the defensive player of the year when he was with the Patriots. Wasn't that long ago. It's a couple of years ago. But his game has slipped. And Lee, once again, when Belichick lets a guy leave, he usually knows what he's doing. I mean, he does. I mean, that's why he is the genius. You lose one step as a cornerback, Lee, means a lot. So Gilmore is no longer elite, but he's not garbage. I'm not sure Jalen Ramsey can stay with Antonio Brown one-on-one. I mean, I'm serious.
Ooh.
The way the rules are right now, Lee, if Brady's got time, and he usually does, and I love the description, the explosion out of the breaks. You know, look, there's some great route runners. Amari Cooper, excellent. Cooper Kupp, of course, excellent. Brown, he turns these guys into pretzels, Lee. And I think he's going to have to be a very big part of what the Bucs do over the next 6 weeks. If they're going to make the run, I think Brown's got to be right in the middle of it, right in the middle. And I'm curious, Lee, as the weeks go on and the Bucs keep playing and they're still alive, is Mike Evans always going to be the focal point of attention for opposing secondaries the way Antonio Brown's playing right now? I think that could easily switch up, Lee, if it's going the way it seems to be going.
Yeah, it's interesting. The only issue I have with Brown is his ankle. Now, he didn't practice. I don't know how much of that was, you know, like a Veterans Day rest. His ankle's okay. We're making sure he gets to the game. We don't want to blow his ankle out and, you know, on a Thursday practice. So I don't know how much of his ankle is barking or if it's just, we know he's in shape. We know what he can do. It's almost pointless to have him practice if he can't show up at kickoff. So let's get him this Sunday. I'm guessing a lot of that is in play. Interesting, you would say 2015 Antonio Brown. Dan Orlovsky the other day on BSPN, he was saying Brown looks like 2016 Antonio Brown. So you and Dan Orlovsky are on the same wavelength there, Ira. Peak athletic prime Antonio Brown.
And Steve, one more point, and it jumps out on the screen, Steve. Jumps out on the film. The guy's playing with incredible passion. He looks like he's more excited than any Buck to be on the field right now. And maybe it's because everything he's been through, some of it self-inflicted, some of it not. He can't wait to get on the field. And every time he makes a play, you know, he's strutting around. You got to love that as a Buck fan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, while he had the ankle injury, the rest of him has got to be super fresh. And he must have been, you know, super hungry to get back on the field as well. It's exciting for what he could be, but it's really Antonio Brown. I mean, he's been like this every time he's played this season. You know, cross our fingers, he looks healthy. And if they can get Evans back, to answer your question, Ira, they can play both guys off each other. I mean, that's just the way it should be. You know, you want to double one guy, we go the other way. Brady's just going to throw the open man regardless. You know, even if those guys get more attention, that should be more for Gronk and maybe Cam Braid can get a little separation, or maybe O.J. Howard can revive himself somewhere. Maybe somebody give him a cup of coffee or something before he runs his routes, or Scotty Miller can get back in Brady's good graces. So it's an exciting time for all the right reasons. And hey, we're going to blow out the Jets, so that's always fun too. Sage, it's a time of year when companies, including the Bucks, assess how they can get better, right? New year, new start. And for anyone who is a property manager, a contractor in the plumbing business, air conditioning contracting, electrical, whatever it might be, reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration and owner Josh Martin. He will tell you and explain to you and buy you lunch and show you how Florida's Elite Restoration is an honest company in this business when there's a disaster like mold or a flood or fire damage, whatever it might be. And they are fantastic at not only helping customers individually, consulting with clients and companies, but making sure that the insurance company process goes smoothly. Josh spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster, so he knows the game on all sides. If you're a homeowner, a business owner, that's your first phone call before you call insurance. Florida's Elite Restoration, get their free assessment in your home, on your property of what's happening, and then you know what to do, and you can move forward in your time of need with an honest company, Florida's Elite Restoration.
If you even think you might have a problem with water or mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration.
Ira, your fellow Brooklynite, Ralph Vacchiano, covers the Jets, and he had an interesting story the other day that really sort of touched my heart. because I started thinking about how far we've come. And he noted, and this is just fantastic, because we as Bucks fans used to be in this place. He was writing about how, well, right now the Jets have the number 4 overall pick, but but with a little help and a little luck, they could still get the number 1 overall pick, because they're pretty sure they'll lose out with the Bucks and their next game. And they also have Seattle's number 6 overall pick right now. And then he broke down how that could finish as bad as 13. And he sort of projects the Jets to have the number 3 pick and like the number 7 or 8 pick, which would have them sort of controlling the draft next year. And, I have to start thinking, are the Jets going to be tanking it against the Bucks? I mean, we watched the Bucks tank it against the Saints in that disgusting tank job 7 years ago that we just celebrated the anniversary the other day, Ira. Maybe the Bucks are even going to get lucky and run into a tank job where, a great way to tank without looking like you're tanking is to maybe play a rookie cornerback on Mike Evans.
A couple of things. Maybe Jet management was pissed off that they managed to squeak by the Jaguars last week. That might have pissed off some management. Lee, I don't know if you were thinking the same way. A lot of times you and I both have the same reaction to something. But when Steve was talking about those conversations that are going on, perhaps in the Jet organization, Lee, I just kept thinking, that's the Bucks we used to know. I mean,
yeah,
Buck fans, December 30th, would be talking about the draft, Lee. That's all
December
they'd be talking
30th,
about.
No. October 30th.
October 30th, 20. Pick your season, Lee. 2009, 2011, 2013, 2014. I mean, Lee, that was the conversation in Buck Nation.
Yeah.
We're thinking about who they're going to maybe beat in week 16. So let Jet fans chew on that for a while. The Bucks have moved on. They're talking Vince Lombardi Trophy, and these clowns are scouring the top guys coming out of college.
We've been there too many times. I understand that. Hey, real quick about Antonio Brown, when you're talking about his excitement in games.
Yeah.
And I know I've mentioned this a couple times in stories months ago. He was doing that in training camp, and that really stuck out to me, how excited he was in training camp. I mean, training camp's supposed to be drudgery. No one likes training camp. He was out there, he'd catch a pass, he'd be hooting and hollering, and, he'd score a touchdown. You could hear him yelling and screaming. He was like a little kid out there in a candy store. And I wrote a couple stories, and I talked to some players about how contagious that was. Even Chris Godwin, I remember, mentioned that rubbed off on the rest of the team, especially the receiver room, how that excitement, just, mundane, boring, 95-degree training camp practice. And yet Brown's all excited. And so, yeah, he was doing it in training camp. And, I didn't think of this until you mentioned it. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe, here we are at the end of regular season. Everybody's kind of looking for the playoffs. And maybe that extra little bit of juice that Antonio Brown brings might be something that the Bucks could use to boost themselves, like a booster rocket, maybe help themselves out, get through the regular season into the playoffs.
Lee, I think the Bucks benefited from that last year in a different kind of way, and they may get some of it this year. And when I say that, I mean last year Donovan Smith got a late season game off from COVID. Then he came back. Come on, guys, all fired up. Let's go. Ronald Jones, same way, out with COVID late, came back. Devin White came back. It was as if he was shot out of a rocket and all his energy came back to the team. So, that kind of stuff can help lift everybody else. And I'm sure if Mike Evans gets back on the field, he'll be, hey, I'm back, and all that sort of a little bit of energy. Now, this year, unfortunately, a lot of teams will be doing the same thing because everybody's missing time. But I think it could make a difference for sure.
Steve, I got a question.
Well, let me throw this out before I forget. And just to piggyback on the tanking, in the final game of the season, if the Panthers lose this Sunday to the Saints, you just know David Tepper is going to be on the phone saying, "We are not winning this game. We are sitting, here with the number 5 overall pick. We could get to number 4. We're going to roll over in the first half, and then you can do what you want."
So Brian Burns, take a seat, baby. Mr. Burns.
Yep.
And Mr. Reddick, take a seat. Here's my question, guys. And I think this could loom large in the postseason. And it's about Brady's targets. Lee, we've been talking about Brown and Evans, all the positives. But Lee, won't there come a time in Lambeau or maybe against the Rams where somebody has to make tough catches over the middle of the field and Godwin won't be there? And if Gronkowski doesn't snap out of his little lethargy and funk, there's another guy, and I don't think Brown's known for that. And, you know, we're used to Evans more towards the sidelines. And Lee, the catch, those contested catches over the middle, at some point, they're going to miss this if Gronk doesn't come around.
Fournette, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe. I guess what I'm saying is they need the old Gronkowski.
I don't foresee Mike Evans being shy about going over the middle.
But he's not as good as Godwin at that.
Oh, no. You're absolutely correct, Ira. Going back to Antonio Brown once again, when he suffered that lethal head-hunting shot from Vontaze Burfict in the playoffs against the Bengals, he's been a weirdo ever since. And I know I'm not the only one that thinks that maybe he went cuckoo as a result of that hit. I mean, he was out for the season after that hit. It was such a bad concussion. Vontaze Burfict should have been suspended for a couple of months, not just a couple of games. Ira, do you think that's just a coincidence, or do you think there's something to it that Brown went cuckoo? It seems like after that hit, he suffered.
Interesting theory, Lee. I'm not buying it, Lee, on the surface. I'm not buying the theory. I think it would affect him as a player more than necessarily his personality. Although, Lee, we know what goes on with CTE.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you got to wait till a guy passes away, you know, to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In there, we just saw an example with Vincent Jackson. So interesting theory, Lee. On the surface, I don't buy.
And here comes Keyshawn Vaughn out of nowhere, and he has a major impact in the game. And I'm just wondering if the fact that Grayson and Vaughn, who rarely see the field, and by all accounts are really good guys, that they were so motivated that they added a spark for the entire offense.
I don't think there's any question. Lee, you touched on an interesting point. On these podcasts, we always accent the positive. You know, team MVP, this, that. Steve, if we're putting up a list, most disappointing Bucks of 2021, Tyler Johnson would be tough to dislodge from the top. You got O.J. Howard, but I think Tyler Johnson, in terms of opportunity, and just hasn't taken advantage of it. I mean, you're not going to name anybody from the offensive line. You're not going to name Brady. I don't think Keyshawn Vaughn's had a lot of opportunity, Steve. So in terms of opportunity and you know, not being able to capitalize, I think Tyler Johnson, he's kind of my pick for most disappointing Bucks, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what you expected from the guy. I mean, he blocks and he's made some catches. He has had more targets than I think a lot of people expected. I'm looking at it here, 27 catches, 42 targets. That's about 2/3 of the balls coming his way. I know you guys aren't going to agree with me, but if you look at his 27 catches on 42 targets, that's 64%. Cameron Brate's at 51%. 51! Which is unacceptable for a tight end catching short throws. So, I don't know. I would put Brate more in that category myself.
Well, he's playing behind Gronkowski, Steve. He is.
Tyler Johnson's playing behind a host of other strong players as well.
Yeah, but he had all this chance, Lee, with Antonio Brown missing all these games. He could have made some kind of an impact.
That's what I'm looking at it.
Gronk missed a lot of games, too. Where was Cam Brate?
Well, you know, he's coming around now, and the same game he's coming around now that Tyler Johnson was coming around on the bench. Tyler Johnson, I really thought, had he had a decent year, the Bucks were going to be in serious discussions about whether they would let Godwin go and give the job to Tyler Johnson, because he is a good blocker, and so is Godwin. Now, I think it's a no-brainer. You're bringing Godwin back.
I will say, Steve, that 51% that you said for Brate, that's really poor. It's got to be better than that.
His top game this year was 35 yards in week 3. He's just not the guy he was, so you're asking me for disappointing Bucks. I would go in that realm, that's where I would go on offense, just because he's had plenty of opportunities. It hasn't happened for him, but it's the top scoring offense in the league. So what the hell are we talking about? All right, Ira, look, Bruce Arians made an interesting comment this week that speaks to his genius as a coach, and the fact that he really thinks very hard about this stuff. And it was a take that I had never heard before, so I had to write it up. He was asked about the resting players or guys getting rusty. What do you do late in the season if you have a last game that doesn't mean much? Like, let's say the 17th game, let's say they're only fighting for a third or fourth seed, and that's the only thing on the table, and maybe it's not even a strong chance of getting the third one. Arian said that you can't rest everybody in the final game, so who do you choose? And he said you hurt guys' feelings if you rest some guys and not others, because they're all hurt by that time of year. He said, so it's better to just go play, go win, and then go play the next one rather than hurt players' feelings. I've never heard it thought about that way. And you would think, well, crap, I don't care if somebody's feelings are hurt. I want Shaq Barrett sharp for the final game. I don't care if Cam Brate is sad. I want Gronk sharp, you know. But this is how Arians manages his team intellectually, I guess.
Steve, you made a great point. I think that's a really big part of the Arians mystique and Arians success. And of course, we've talked about it. Another Vince Lombardi trophy. He's in the Hall of Fame conversation, although he hasn't coached a long time, Lee, in this league. Lee, he really knows his players, Lee. That's his strength. Not necessarily X's and O's, not clock management. His relationships with the players, very, very strong. And I think it's reflective of the way they play on Sunday. And Lee, his comments, I think, amplify what he said. I believe it was on Monday. I mentioned it on our previous podcast, asked about his philosophy towards the end of the year when you're locked into a playoff spot kind of seed. Lee, he said, I think when you rest guys, they lose a little. That's what he said, Lee. Said it on Monday. He backed it up later with what Steve's talking about, amplified it. Lee, at this point, you got to think, you know, guys are going to play at least a half, all the regulars, in week 18, no matter what the seeding situation is. And you know what? I'm not going to fault Arians. He's been doing this a long time, Lee. He's got a philosophy, and he's going to stick with it.
Tell you what, Bruce Arians has all the street cred in the world with me. He's the best Bucks coach. He comes in and rebuilds a loser team into a Super Bowl champion in two seasons. Whatever he says goes in my eye. I'm not going to argue with him. And I think he used the word rust, didn't he? When you're sitting players, they get rusty. Did he not say that or use the word rust in his experience?
Steve, did he say rusty?
No, the question, well, in what I was listening to, in the question he was asked, should you rest them or do you worry about them getting rusty? He didn't really say they get rusty. He went right to the mental side.
Mm. He's got a lot of experience with good teams, you know, Pittsburgh, his Cardinal teams, the Colts, even when he was with Cleveland, they were a playoff team. So, you know, he's coming at it with a significant amount of experience, so I'm going to ride with him.
And, Steve, he's probably seen teams that have gone both ways down the stretch in terms of rest. Play your guys, don't play your guys. He's seen it all, Steve. So to back up Lee's point, I'm not going to argue with Arian's inclinations in this regard. He's been in this league for so long. He's been so successful. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, Steve.
Ira, hard question. Hard question right here, coming right after you. If Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles do leave, if they leave in 6 weeks or four weeks, we find out they've got a job waiting when the season's done, is Arians out? I mean, you know him as well as anybody in the media. Is he gone if he loses both of those guys? Does he say goodbye, Tom, I can't do it anymore, I'm out?
I'll go you one better. He can have both of those coordinators back, and if he loses Brady, then he's gone, unless they can get an Aaron Rodgers. Lee, he can lose both coordinators, fill them with guys that he's comfortable with, and as long as he's got 12 under center, he might give it another shot. That's the way I look at it.
I agree with you. If Brady goes, that would push him. He can lean on Clyde Christensen as offensive coordinator. He can lean on any number of guys he has on defense to take over. If Brady goes, I think it's that he's out. Unless, like you said, they get Russell Wilson. And I'm going to say this. I think I've said this on a previous podcast. And people go mental when I mention this in the comments on Joe Bucks fan. A sect of Bucks fans that think, okay, if Brady leaves, we'll get Aaron Rodgers. You don't want Aaron Rodgers. Not in Tampa Bay. Go look up his record and his stats and at warm weather sites.
Interesting.
You don't want Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback in Tampa Bay.
Haven't said that, Lee. Haven't said it. I'm going to repeat something I said on a previous podcast that I don't think, I'm not sure either of you guys agreed with, but I'll say it again. Kyle Trask will not be the successor to Tom Brady. Will not.
You've mentioned that. That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
You know why? You know who won't stand for that? The Glazers. They've had a taste of Tom Brady. They're in the spotlight.
Oh.
And I think they'd be a big, big factor, Steve, and I just can't see them dropping down in class to Kyle Trask. I don't care what he does on a practice.
So, well, Ivor, what you're saying is the Glazers have enjoyed the taste of Bromosa, and they want nothing to do with Miller Lite anymore.
Nicely done, Mr. D. Nicely done.
I'm going to slap around both of you because that's what this podcast is about. First, I'll start with Ira. We don't even know if Kyle Trask is any good. What the hell's going on, Ira? We got to see the guy play. The Glazers will like the guy if he's any good. They may have a short fuse, a short leash for a developmental second-round quarterback, but if he can play, he can play. I don't buy that at all. You can't just go with a sexy name because you're used to Tom Brady. Nobody's Tom Brady. So, no one's going to get ticket sales going like Brady has and energize the organization. No one available anyway. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be on the street, and neither are some other guys. And as far as Aaron Rodgers, I would take him in a heartbeat based on who else is available. It just comes down to which quarterback's available. Plus, Rodgers has never had the benefit of training in Florida for a season. So I think
that's fair.
His issues are that he just hasn't been down here to figure out how to play in the heat. The guy keeps himself obviously in tremendous shape, and he wilts in Florida. No question that he falls apart, but I think if you gave him 6 months to acclimate and talk to Brady about it, he'd be fine.
Well, the Bucks changed the turf for him, though.
Sure.
Remember how he hates the turf at Raymond James? For years, he's whined about that turf. The last time he played down here, well, second last time, not last year, but the previous time he played here, he whined about that turf, how the turf injured his ankle, how the turf is the worst in the NFL. Just whined like the drama queen he is.
He's a whiner. You know why you start Kyle Trask in week one in the season? When you're rebuilding, Lee. When you're rebuilding.
That's fair.
He might be good, Ira. Ira, he might be a good player. What are you doing?
Yeah, to Steve's point, we're not rebuilding. Seeing... Steve's got a fair point, but if all things were equal, yeah. The Glazers, if they had a chance, I don't think there's any doubt they would try to get Russell Wilson or Derek Carr.
They would go big name hunting, and you know that's true. Isbits, don't even argue with me on this point.
Well, I think that would be their preference, but it depends who's available. Sure, I would expect Sean McVay to get sick of Matthew Stafford pretty soon, so maybe he's here in 2 years at 35 years old. I don't know who's coming. Matt Ryan will probably break free in a couple of years. I mean, the Glazers. You got to at least give the guy a shot and see what he looks like. Otherwise, you're telling me, Ira, they're never going to draft a quarterback again?
What I'm saying is I think he's destined to be a backup. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see.
You're probably right because that's what most non-first-round picks become at quarterback is backup. So the Bucks knew what they were doing. They took their shot. We'll see. Harsh words from the sage. Harsh.
Lee knows what I'm talking about in terms of the Glazers have had this taste of this kind of limelight. Look, even the 2002 team didn't have this kind of national spotlight that they've had the last 2 years. They didn't.
Oh, no.
And if you can get somebody maybe a cut below Brady, like a Russell Wilson, a Rodgers, something like that, that's going to keep this momentum going. They don't want to lose this momentum.
Well, as you probably know, Ivor, and the one reason the Glazers basically ordered Mark Domnick, go get a quarterback. and the reason why they drafted Jameis. And I know Jameis has a hell of a lot of detractors out there, but I still don't think he was as brutal as what people think. You know, brutal quarterbacks don't throw for 5,000 yards. He just didn't have a defense to help him out. If you're going to have a gunslinger, you better have a defense. Buck's defense was miserable. But to my point, the reason why the Glazers covet a quarterback so much, David Tepper's in the same boat, it's economics. You get a franchise quarterback, you're relevant for a decade, maybe 15 years, maybe, in the case of Rodgers and Brady, for two decades. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of relevance. That's a lot of buzz. And the Glazers are all about buzz because buzz equals money. And I know a lot of, you know, hardcore football fans, they hear buzz, they hear drama, and they just want to punch me. But there's a reason why the NFL orders these teams to have all these press conferences. It's not because of his distractions, but it's because of drama. Drama builds interest. Interest builds revenue. And you take drama and you take interest away from the NFL, you got golf. You got rugby. You got nothing. And the NFL is the behemoth of sports because of drama. Every week there's something drama. It was Antonio Brown or Aaron Rodgers. Every week there's something different. Every week. And that builds interest. That builds excitement. And that's why the Glazers want a quarterback so bad, is because that makes the team relevant for at least a decade. And relevance equals wins. Relevance equals revenue.
Hey, Steve, when DeKemper was talking about building drama, I thought he was talking about Joe Buckstan for a minute over there.
Yeah, you've been starting fights on Twitter, Ira. Yeah, I see the way you're going here. Needling people. All right, look, Sage, this is a strange time for Bucks fans. There's two games left. We know we're in the playoffs. There's no big celebration for clinching. We want a good seed. We don't have a tough game, though, to tune us up here for the postseason. Right, we've got two patsies left, but that's very much what we had last year. We had the Lions were a patsy, and then they finished up against an Atlanta team that had already fired its coach. So it's sort of the same pattern. We're just waiting to bust some heads at home against a first-round playoff opponent. It's a weird time. We're going to see who's healthy and who's not. We got all our prayers for the head coach, who actually, Arians was on CBS Sports Radio last week, Ira, and he was asked about his future coaching. And he was very, very clear in a different way than he's been before. He was very clear that it strictly comes down to his health. He didn't even mention anything else. He said, if I continue to feel good, I'm in. I'm loving it. I'm so glad I came back. I'm in. But he said, if I have a setback, I don't think so. I'm not calling COVID a setback, that he's going to, you know, that I have some sort of COVID freak out that he's going to die and not coach anymore. But, you know, ultimately, we need this guy to stay healthy. He's going to be 70 next season. And so, you know, everybody's dying. Not dying is the wrong word. Everybody's yearning for him to return immediately, Ira, immediately. So, Sage, give us your take on Sunday's game.
I think it'll be pretty similar to last week. When the game's over, some people pick on the opponent, just like they said the Panthers stink, which they do on offense. And I think the Panthers are better than the Jets, Lee. I know the game's in East Rutherford. Weather could be a factor, Lee. I think it's going to be rainy, but I don't think that's going to help the Jets necessarily. The Bucks are they got too much on the line at this point. You know, maybe not the following week, but at this point, they're still alive for some things. I still think they're driving for seeding. So I got the Bucks breezing with Brady. Defense is playing well. 30-14, Lee. 30-14.
Wow. I'm gonna go big here. 30-10. The Bucks win by 20. The Jets, and this says a lot about Mr. Clean, Robert Saleh. He's supposed to be a defensive guy, yet the defense is the worst in the NFL. Well, I emphasize worst. You know, it's Mike Smith bad. That's not very good for Mr. Saleh, especially when your franchise quarterback is stinking to join up on top of it. Saleh, maybe, I'm not saying Saleh's going to get fired, but he's looking at two and out.
Steve, that place is a cesspool, Steve. The cesspool.
Hey, it's not our problem, so that's the beautiful thing. I'm going to go for a tighter game, and I'm going to tell you why. The tighter game that I'm looking at is because if, in fact, Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting do not play, every single team in the NFL that the Bucs have faced have taken advantage of that. That's sort of their kryptonite. I mean, those short passes that they don't seem able to cover when those guys are out of the game, and a quick passing game that might make it easier for the rookie with the Jets. And frankly, the Jets passing offense has been their strength this year. They've moved the ball through the air. They can't run at all, but they've been a lot better through the air than you might think. And, you know, they throw a lot of picks, but you know, the way to combat that is those short, easy throws. So I think this game might be closer than anybody wants it to be because of that, if those guys don't play. So I'm going to say 27-17 Bucks.
Okay. What else you got, Steve?
Look, Rondé Barber, he got into the finalist room officially named. I watched the NFL Network special myself. And unfortunately, LaDainian Tomlinson and the other guy who was there, They both said
Jim Trotter. We're talking about Leroy Butler. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to say that they both were saying that Leroy Butler has to get in first because he's been waiting longer, and he's a Hall of Famer, and so maybe it's not Barber's time.
First of all, guys, nothing says you can't put both of them in. One guy doesn't negate the other. This is going to be a cleanup year. That's the consensus. From things I hear from the voters, and by that I mean, you know, there's no Randy Moss coming in or Ed Reed or Peyton Manning. It's not a year like that where you're going to have two or three first-year eligible guys. The best of the bunch is DeMarcus Ware in terms of the first-year guys. In my mind, he's not a slam dunk. He's a very good candidate, but he's not a slam dunk as a first-year eligible. Andre Johnson, same thing. Hell of a receiver, but he's not Randy Moss. So then you look at the guys who kind of came close and who made the top 10 but didn't get in. There were five of them. One of them was Clay Matthews-Lee, and so he's no longer on the ballot. He's a senior guy now. That was his last year of eligibility. That leaves four guys that made the top 10 that didn't get in last year. So that's where you start. Now, Rondé did not make the top 10, so he's starting from the back post. But that's why I think DeMarcus Ware could be the swing guy, because otherwise Barber could make the vault, and it's a big jump when you don't finish in the top 10 and then you make it in the next year. That doesn't often happen. I think Barber, you could argue, is the best player out of the 15. I mean, I think you really could. Mm-hmm. I think you could say he's the most qualified out of the 15. Why can't you? He's got so many things on his plate. You talk about checking off boxes, Lee. Is there a box that Barber doesn't check off? I mean, are you kidding me? So I've already got a great quote from Andy Reid, who texted me and just sent me, you know, 200 words on Rondé Barber. Kurt Warner called me back this week talking about Rondé Barber. And, you know, I got another 2.5 weeks to go. So I'm just getting started on this thing. Derek Brooks is going to help. Dungy's going to help. All hands on deck, Lee. All hands on deck, because Rondé deserves it. Yeah, he's the fourth guy off that defense, Lee. They only won one Super Bowl. I know that's going to come up in the room. I say nonsense. The 69 Chiefs have six guys. They won one Super Bowl. Six. That Buck defense, Lee, you know as well as anybody, over an extended period, was the premier defense in football. You've got to recognize that. And you've got to honor that.
Can I point out something, Ira, that I think your lack of an ego will never do, but I'm going to do it for you. I want listeners to understand just how much respect and what kind of connections you have. Well, just your last couple podcasts, you had said, we know that you'd spoken with Arians on the side. He's at home with his COVID. You spoke with him and got an update on him. You got Andy Reid texting you. Last week you were talking about how an NFL GM was calling you. Kurt Warner calls you. Ira, you've got connections. You know what the hell's going on in the NFL. I hope your listeners and your readers realize that.
Appreciate that, Lee. And Steve, all I can say is, in terms of this Hall of Fame thing, Steve, you know this, I take it very seriously. And I'm going to tell you why. If you go on Twitter tonight, there's a tackle named Willie Anderson for the Bengals. He was an excellent player. He played right tackle. And Bengal Nation, they only have one guy in, Anthony Munoz, who might be the greatest tackle in history. But there's only one Bengal, Lee, in the Hall of Fame. One.
That's a little surprising.
That's unbelievable. So no Ken Riley, no Ken Anderson. Well, Willie Anderson is a finalist for the first time. He thought everybody forgot about him. He played about 15 years, and he gave up about 7 sacks in his whole career. He was that good. And there's a video from Willie Anderson on Twitter. I happen to see it. He's crying, and he talks for about 90 seconds or 2 minutes about what an unbelievable day this is for him. He never thought it would happen. He gave up hope. And when he got the news, he broke down. And that's my way of saying, Lee, I know how important this is to the players, and it's got to be equally important to me. I take it as a great responsibility. It's prestigious, but it's a great responsibility, and I'm going to do everything I can for Rondé Barber.
John Madden would say, if you make it, you talk to the bus.
Ira, you said something that was very powerful that I think should be somewhere incorporated into your presentation, if I could be so bold as to make a suggestion. You just said you think you could make a case that Rondé Barber is the very best player of the 15 finalists this year. I think you should run with that. That's a powerful statement, and that's the kind of statement that I think could wake some people up in there. You're not just saying, oh, he belongs. You're saying, no, he's the best in this room. I like that.
I think that's going to be my theme. It sounds a little pretentious, but I think I can back it up, Lee. I think I can.
All right, well.
Yeah, there's a cliche I'm trying to think of. It's like something the bold favors the brave or something like that.
Something favors the brave. Yeah, something favors the brave. Good fortune. I like that, yeah.
I think it's more like baloney travels well. I think that's what it was. That's the first. All right,
well, we'll be back in the new year. Steve, we gotta wish a happy new year to our listeners.
Absolutely. I feel like the year never ends. The end of football season maybe feels like the end of the year, but we're just getting started. 2022, we're turning the page. Sage, Lee, happy new year. Ira, we will see you next week.